Lift up your hands. Thank you, the Lord. Magnify the name of the Lord. Father, we do thank you. You are in this place today. You are in this place. You did not come empty-handed, but you came to help your people, lift your people up, to help them in a mighty way, to help them to walk in your ways. Father God, we thank you that you came to show them your ways, that, Father God, that they may be able to walk in the path that you have instructed them to go, that, Father God, that they be able to do the works that you have assigned them to do, that, Father God, that they may be with the anointing of God and the Spirit of God upon their life, that they may be able to go forth and do that and be that person and do that which is which you have instructed them to do. Thank you now, Father. We thank you that you're here tonight, Lord. Thank you that you love your people. Thank you that you minister to your people. Thank you that you care about your people. The needs of every person are your personal concern. We thank you that you made a way for them in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that you unveil truth to them tonight. We declare the blinders come off of the mind of our understanding, that they may be able to see the truth of your word, that may the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ may shine brightly into our hearts and minds, that we may be able to comprehend that which you desire for us to have tonight. We thank you, Father God, and give you the glory and praise. Thank you, Father. Just worship him just a moment. Just worship him just a moment. Magnify your name, O Lord. We worship you in this place tonight, and we thank you that you are in this place. We don't have to go looking for you, wonder where you are. You are in this place. You are here tonight. We thank you that you are here to do what you have spoken of in your word, that you unveil the truth of your word to us. We give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, if you did not get here this morning and you did not hear Pastor Hagin's message on Christ our Passover, I would highly recommend that you go out to the bookstore and you get that CD out there and you start listening to it. It is one of the most liberating messages that I've heard in a while. And the reason that we can be free, the reason, the things that Jesus went through and the things that God was working on even in the Old Testament up to the time of what Jesus did so that we could be walking in freedom today. And so I encourage you to get that CD and avail yourself of that. And so tonight I want you to look with me at a portion of Scripture that's very important to me. It's Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and through 20. We want to read that tonight. It's important to me because when God called me into the ministry, he called me to, he quoted verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He quoted that verse to me. And so consequently, you know, when people try to cast doubt on this portion of Scripture as to whether it was really in the original manuscripts, I just have to smile about that. Because Jesus quoted it to me. And so he goes on and he says, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Excuse me. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. And so notice in verse 15, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why would we do that? Well, verse 16 explains that. He says, He who believes and is baptized will be saved. In other words, we preach the gospel so people will be able to believe. Believe what? Believe what you preach. Believe the word, and be able to be saved. Amen. impossible to believe if you haven't heard, and you can't hear unless somebody preaches, and you can't, nobody preaches unless they're sent. Isn't that right? But we've been sent. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so, you know, that means different things to different people. We understand that. But nevertheless, here's Jesus' instructions. And, he tells us to believe. And, let me just say this to you tonight as I look at this. Here is the question. Do you believe? What do you believe? How do you believe? You know, years ago, 1984, I graduated from Rhema very young, you know. But you know. And so anyway, some of you got that. Some of you thinking, what do you mean by that? We'll just let you figure that out. But anyway, so 1984, graduated from Rhema. 2 months before I graduated from school, God told me to go preach, pastor a church in Kansas. I had to drive up into Kansas and find the church. I mean, he didn't tell me the name of it. He didn't say this or that. And so I drove up into Kansas and met a guy. He said, "Well, you know, our preacher's leaving, so you want to try out for our church." I said, "What kind of church is it?" He said, "It's a Methodist church." I said, "I'm not interested." But you know what? The Lord convicted me. The Lord convicted me. In my heart, the Lord convicted me. My head was giving me trouble. I said, "My head was giving me trouble. But my heart was convicting me, go do this." So I remember I had to go, drive over and meet the pulpit committee chairman. And so on the way over there, it was several miles over that way, and my heart was telling me this is the thing to do, and my head saying, "This is not going to work. What do you think you're doing? You better turn around and get out of here before you embarrass yourself." And so I went over there. We ended up pastoring that church, taking that church. The Lord spoke to us. I mean, it was miraculous how we got in there. And so there were certain reasons why we were there. And let me say it this way. When we got those reasons done, those things taken care of, we had enough sense to get out of there. You understand what I mean? But now while we were there, we had this Rhema graduate came by, and he had this we had him speak, and we started having revival meetings, and so he gave an altar call for healing one night. And so here comes this guy. This guy's in heaven now, so I can talk about it. But he comes up there and answer to that, and he was a big guy, broad shouldered, and he was muscle bound, about like me, Anyway, okay, all right. I can see you can't appreciate me. All right, anyway. But anyway, he came walking up there, And so the evangelist asked him, he said, "What is it that you need?" He said, these muscles are so big and so huge. He said that there's not enough room. And he said they hurt all the time. I mean, he had some kind of problem. Somehow the muscles weren't right. And so the evangelist, knowing the word, he said, "Do you believe that when we lay hands on you, that you'll be healed?" And I'll never forget what he said. The guy straightened his muscles up a little bit. He said, "I got all the faith in the world." And I said to myself, "Now I know that's not true because I got some faith." I got some. And I know others who have some faith, so he can't have all the faith in the world. But see, he made this big general statement. And I also said to myself, now he won't get healed based on that because that's not the kind of faith it takes to receive from God. There are different ways to believe. You can believe in such a general way that nothing happens. Amen. I'm preaching pretty good tonight. And so anyway, it happened just like I knew it would. walked back to his seat. He couldn't understand how come he didn't receive healing. Well, he heard the word. He had heard the word because I preached on healing while I was there. He'd heard the word. He had opportunity to believe. Do you know what I'm saying? And you know, believing God is one of the best things you can do. I said it is. Amen. Here's why. Because if you didn't, if you take the believing out of the equation or out of the situation, you'd be left with doing whatever you could to try to please the Lord to earn whatever it is you want from God. That's all that's left. You know what I'm saying? And so you might have a whole set of rules that you would obey and do and keep perfectly. And if you kept it perfectly, you'd be in position to receive something from God. But you know, the Old Testament is an example of people that had rules. They had hundreds of rules, but they weren't able to keep them perfectly, and therefore unable to receive what all God had for them. And so here's the thing. So believing is important. That's why we go preach the gospel, so people believe. Amen. And he goes on. So these are Jesus' instructions, and he tells us to preach the word. In verse 15 or in 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Did you know there are people that believe that? But that's all they believe. They believe that if they preach the word, then people get saved. And they believe that that people will get saved, but they stop right there. Salvation is what they preach. Salvation is all they get. Salvation is all that people are able to get because that's all they hear about. And so that's all they're able to believe to receive. Amen. I remember years ago hearing Norval Hayes. Years ago, and he's talking about his mother went down to such and such a denominational church. He said she had a heart attack and she died there. He said you couldn't get healed in that church. I thought, really? You can't get healed there? And he said the reason you couldn't get healed there is because they don't believe in healing. Now, don't get quiet on me. I heard that silence right there. Now, do you understand this? Listen to me. You can only believe to the extent of the knowledge that you have of the Word of God. You really can. But if you don't hear about healing, how can you believe? Isn't that right? So that's what Norval Hayes meant. He said, it's impossible to get healed at that church because I don't preach on healing. And therefore, it's impossible to believe. Okay, so here's the thing. In these verses right here, it tells us to believe, doesn't it? But now it's up to you how much you believe. Some believe in salvation. They stop right there. Others believe more. They believe in healing. Some believe in speaking in other tongues. Some believe in healing, but they won't believe in speaking in other tongues. Some believe in speaking in other tongues and in healing, but they don't believe much in casting out demons. And you know, you can still get interesting reactions out of people if there's a demonic manifestation. There's people looking for exits, you know, spirit-filled people. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand that demons are afraid of us. You got to understand that. Amen. And they tremble when you walk in the way in what God said is yours. Amen. So you got to learn to believe what the Word of God says. He says here, you can believe for salvation, but you could believe for more, couldn't you? Isn't that right? So these are Jesus' instructions. Now here's something that happens, that many people agree with what Jesus said. In other words, here's the thing. They believe what Jesus said in principle. In other words, they agree that what Jesus said written here on this page, as far as that goes. They agree he said that, I believe that. It's written in red. So I believe that. And I believe that. I agree with that. I agree with that. We're full gospel. We're spirit filled. Whatever you want to call yourself, but and even go so far as to say, now we believe in, we said no limits on God. God can do whatever he wants to. But you know what? That's believing God in principle. And we certainly do need to believe God in principle, but we should not stop there. And so one of the things that I heard Brother Hagin say years ago when he was teaching was this, that some people believe something on paper, but they don't believe it in practice. And so here's the thing. Listen to me. Do you believe what Jesus said in principle and in practice? That's the big question tonight. See, how do you believe? Amen. How do you believe? Do you believe when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover? Or do you believe that when you lay hands on the sick, then we'll see what happens? Let's try this and see what happens. Well, see, that kind of believing is not what Jesus meant here. And actually, you could actually get into the word believing right there and actually realize this. There's a difficulty just in the word believe. In this sense, that the word believe back in Bible days meant a whole lot, something a whole lot different than what most of us think about on a daily basis. I'll give you an example. Most of us, you know, you come to work, go to work, or you come to church, or you go someplace, the grocery store, and sooner or later, you're going to meet this, you see this red sign, octagonal, is it octagonal or hexagonal? Octagonal. Anyway, and it's a sign, red sign, and it has STOP on it. It says to stop, doesn't it? Now, what does stop mean? What does that mean? Stop. What does it mean? It means come to a complete halt, doesn't it? I can see the look of conviction on people's faces already. Do you understand? We believe that in principle. But not many times, you know what I'm saying? How often do we believe that in practice? Do you understand what I mean? And so here's the thing. See, the word we accept. So many times we accept something as true, but that doesn't mean that we have made any commitment to it. You know what I'm saying? Don't look at me like, you're so sad at what I'm preaching tonight. I work on my commitment level on that sign too. Some of you took a deep breath and relaxed a little bit. He's in there with us. Do you understand what I mean? Now listen to me, but when it comes to believing the scriptures, listen to me, it's not just simply accepting what it says and agreeing with it and said, that Jesus said that, I believe that, and then go do nothing with it. Amen. See, what we need to realize is this that there is a difference between believing something on paper and actually acting like it's so. Amen. This is good preaching, teaching, whatever you call it, but it's good anyway. Amen. You know why? Because it'll help us to grab hold of some stuff that we couldn't have otherwise. Because the truth shall set us free. The truth will, see, here's the thing. You could go along here and say, I agree, tongues is for today. But you know, in that statement, there's no commitment expressed on your part to actually do it. Do you know what I'm saying? See now, but if you believe, if you say this, now listen to me, if you start saying, I believe that I should speak in other tongues. Now there it starts getting a little personal. In other words, here's the thing. When I read these verses, I look at that. He go into all the world. How many of us actually believe that? Or how many of us are too busy with our personal life that we do not think about going into all the world? You say, well, I'm just not that kind of person. Well, then we'd have to put, can I say this? Then we'd have to put your name in there as an exception. Because you see, it is possible for you in some way to do something in the world as far as preaching the gospel is concerned. It's just a matter that sometimes we're so locked in on what we think going out into the world and preaching the gospel is that we say, well, now that right there is not me. But the fact of the matter is we're not all called to do it the same way. Do you understand what I mean? But you ought to believe that the Lord will show you some way to preach the gospel in the world wherever you are. Some way. In some way. In some way. You see what I'm saying? See, you can't. Now look at these verses in verse 17 and 18. These signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. Did you know there's people that when there's a demonic presence and manifestation, there are people that agree that as long as Jesus would be here, that wouldn't be a problem. Jesus can cast it out. But now when it comes down to, do you believe you can cast it out? Now that might be, you know, you might be having people walking in the wrong direction. Backing up. You know what I'm saying? And here's the other thing. Here's another thought. Well, you know, as long as Jesus is with me, I believe I could do it. In other words, it's great when Jesus is right there. He gives instructions to the disciples and they think, oh, this is great. This is some really good marching orders. And so we're going to go out and do this. But you know what? Verse right after that, verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken, he was received up into heaven. He's gone. They're on their own, so to speak. In other words, he's not right there like he had been, you know, in person, in flesh, you know. He's in heaven. Now, if you read Matthew's account, he said, lo, I'm with you always. In other words, John said he sent the Holy Spirit, and he's in you. The Spirit of Christ is in you. You're really not alone. But you understand, now listen to me. You could say this, that as long as I got a whole bunch of believers with me, I believe I can whip the devil. But now when you're all by yourself and you got a problem and no other church people are around, listen to me, then my question is, do you believe that you can run the devil off? By yourself, do you believe you have what it takes? See, it's a question of what you believe. Because what you believe is how you end up acting or not acting. Isn't that right? If you believe the devil's mighty, as they used to teach in, you know, they used to teach that in our denomination that we grew up in. The devil is mighty, but God is almighty, they said. And I got the idea that God is almighty. I had no doubt about that. But the devil's right behind him. He's just two letters away. You know, God is mighty, almighty, and the devil's mighty. He's just not almighty. But he's mighty. Certainly. The idea was this: we wouldn't get a match. We wouldn't be a match for any of them, either one of them. You know what I'm saying? Best thing you can do is just run. You know, that's the idea that I got. Well, listen to me. But here it tells us this. He said, if you take up serpents or if you drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. What does that mean? That means you do have authority. You do have the ability to rise up above the circumstances, the attacks of the enemy. And even if it's a literal snake or whether it's the old serpent, the devil, you know, it doesn't make any difference. You can still rise up above that. Isn't that right? That's what the word says. And so when you're all by yourself, listen to me, I'm trying to help you get something to do something when you're by yourself, because that's when the attacks are the most severe. When it's dark, the lights are out, nobody's around, and the thoughts are there, and the pain is there, the feelings are in the body, and all of a sudden the enemy comes along. He says, I got you where I want you right now. I got you by yourself. I got you in the dark. I'm gonna start putting some thoughts in your mind, you know, and challenge your faith. I'm gonna come against you in your weakest moment. I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you. I, when this is over, you won't last. You won't last until the morning. Anybody ever been there? Well, they'll look at you this way. He'll come along and says, I'm going to mess with your mind until you go crazy. Well, you know what you got to do, don't you? You know, if you don't believe right, you know, what happens? Well, the devil comes along and gives you a lot of problems. But if you believe right, you don't have to wait all night. You can run him off. Amen. But now I'm going to tell you something. Too many people have been messing around too many things, and they mess around with it too long, and then they try to run it off after they've enjoyed it for a while. Oh, well, anyway. I know you want me to go back and teach the word now. But the truth of the matter is, listen to me, you better jump right on it. Be alert. Enemy comes along, it's a matter of what you believe, because what you believe is what you're ready to do. You say, well, I believe best I can. Did you know the best you can believe is determined by the amount of the Word of God that you've got inside of you? And if you're not happy with your level of believing, and you know, here's how I look at it. I look at the end result. If I'm not happy with what I'm receiving, that means I got to change my believing. And the way to change my believing is to get back into the Word of God and start increasing my intake of the Word of God. In other words, if I'm not happy with my health and so forth, you know, and the doctor looks at me and he says, well, I'm not happy with your health, and the medicine dose that I've given you is not working, I'm going to increase the dose. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. You need to look at this Word of God. The Bible says it's medicine for our flesh. And so you need to recognize this then, that you ought to, if you're not happy with your results, if you're struggling with believing, it's really not just a believing problem. It's the problem is the amount of the Word of God that you got inside of you. So here's what I'd say. As a doctor, I'd tell you, double the dose of the Word that you get inside of you. You say, what does that mean? That means if you've been spending 5 minutes with the Word, then I'd suggest that you double that and increase that, triple that, quadruple that. Listen to me, 5 minutes in the Word is not going to get you much. I hate to burst your bubble, but 5 minutes in the Word is not going to get you too much, because you're not putting too much in you in that time. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6, verse 45, he said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, you're going to speak out of by the influence of what's in your heart and the abundance of what's in your heart. Did you know your heart is full? It's full of whatever you put in there over the years. In other words, if all you did was put in it, you know, every movie that came along, then you might just be busy trying to act like some movie star that you like. Talk like him, you know. You know, try to act like John Wayne, the Duke. Well, you know, or like Clint Eastwood, make my day. You know what I'm saying? You know, something like that, you know. Well, you know. You can tell I watched that some time ago, though. Hadn't lately. You understand what I mean? But now listen to me. But now listen to me. Your heart is full, and things will come out of your mouth. But listen to me. If the Word isn't consistently coming out of your mouth, listen to me, then you need to look at how much of the Word you got in your heart. Because, see, here's the thing. Most people have just enough Word in them to get by. Unless there's a big problem comes their way. And then they don't have enough, because that stops the flow. Now listen to me. You need to get the Word in you so much so that whenever and whatever, wherever you're at, the Word comes out of your mouth. Words that are in agreement with the Word come out of your mouth. Amen. I'm talking about believing these scriptures right here and getting what God has for you. Now listen to me. Look down verse 20. Now I got to quit. He says in verse 20, he said, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. In other words, here's what they did. They heard, listen to this, they heard what Jesus said in verses 15 through 18, didn't they? Those were the disciples. Then Jesus left and they looked around and said, what are we going to do now? He left. I'm sure it was Peter. I'm sure it was Peter that said this. Said, well, we're going to go do what he said. So they got up. They said, what do we do? We're going to go out into the world. In other words, we're not going to win a lot of people up here in the upper room. You know what I'm saying? We got to go out. Listen to me. This is a deep revelation. You better write it down. In other words, you're not going to get too many people saved unless you're out where people are. Amen. It's like one time I believed in God for a car. So I claimed a car sitting in my living room. And then I realized the car is not going to show up in my living room. If it did, I'd have a problem. How am I going to get it outside? So I'm glad I didn't get it inside the house, you know. Where I had to knock the wall out to get it out of the house. No, what did I do? I realized that in order to go get a car, if I believed that God heard my prayer that I'm going to get a car, that God has a car for me, then I got to get up, go out where they are, and believe to receive it. Yes. And that God will work out a deal somehow. Did he give me favor? Did he give me credit? Somehow, something works out that I have a car. But I have to be out by the cars in order to get it. Same way with this. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So, in verse 20, they went out and preached everywhere. They got busy doing verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. They got busy doing that. Now, here's what happened. You said, well, how did they do it? It doesn't say how they did it, but they preached. Now, did they do it all the same way? Doesn't say they did, but somehow they preached. Somewhere they preached. In some way they preached the gospel. They presented the gospel. And it says this, the Lord working with them. When did the Lord work with them? When they went out and preached everywhere. Isn't that interesting? Sitting here thinking about it, going out in all the world and preaching the gospel. I don't think I could. But you don't know how much God will help you until you're out there. And you endeavor to share the gospel in some way. That's when the help of the Lord kicks in, shows up. That's when the anointing manifests. That's when the Spirit of God moves into action and helps you to share the gospel. Amen. There's no need for him to do whatever he does, for the Spirit of God to do whatever he does if we don't go out. We haven't given him anything to work with. But if we go out and preach, or let's put it this way, any portion of scripture you want in here that you're endeavoring to do, if you go and obey it, then the Spirit of God will work with you. He will work with you. He will work with you. Say it with me. He will work with you. And it says, and confirming the word through these accompanying signs, or as the King James said, with signs following. In other words, the power of God showed up when the word was shared, when the word was presented in some way. You say, well, Brother Yoder, I'm glad the Lord spoke to you in verse 15 and told you to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. But Brother Yoder, pardon me, I got to go to work in the morning. Or I got to go to school. Or I got to take care of the babies. Or I got this. I already got my list for the week. I don't know how I'm going to fit something else in there. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen to me. There's a lot of ways you can share the gospel. First of all, if you're not a person that's very bold, then I suggest that you get yourself some really good tracts and you start leaving them in places where people can read them. Do something like that. I remember when I first started, I was timid. I didn't, and so this guy and I went out street witnessing, and I went in fear and trembling, and I had this little magazine that I'd tiptoe up on the porch, and I'd slip it in their door, hoping I'd get back off the porch before they'd answer the door, because I didn't know what I was going to say. I wasn't very brave, but I did something. The point is, I did something. The magazine was enough for them to, it was testimony. Now listen to me. Sometimes sharing your testimony is another way that you can share what God will do and what God has said in His Word. It's in His testimony. Sometimes it's showing love to another person. Sometimes it's being kind to somebody. Sometimes it means listening to somebody. Sometimes it means that you show the fruit of the Spirit. In other words, you show them that you're the kind of person that God's been working on, and they look at you like one lady did to me. She said, "Why are you so nice to me?" And I said, "It's because I said because I want to walk in love, because God's worked in me the love of God." And so she didn't respond very well to that, and so she was mad at me, and so she couldn't understand why I wouldn't fight with her about some stuff, business deal. And so I just said, "I'm going to walk in love." I said, "Now sit down." I said, "Now what is it you want?" She told me it was a little bit of nothing. I said, "If that's all it is," I said, "that's not a problem. You can have it your way." And that's when she said, "How come you're so nice to me?" I said, "I'm walking in love." I said, "God wants me to walk in love towards you." And she told me what she thought of that and hung up. 2 years later, I get a phone call from her. Listen to me. 2 years later, I get a phone call from her. She said, "Would you please forgive me?" She's crying, weeping on the phone. She said, "A day hadn't gone by that I thought about how you treated me." She said, "The doctors have told me I'm dying with cancer, given me 3 weeks to live. I got to make things right. Would you forgive me?" I said, "You were forgiven the day you did it." I said, "I never even thought about it anymore." Don't underestimate the kind gesture, the power of kindness, the power of love, the power of a good example, the power of doing the right thing. It preaches a powerful message. There's more than one way to preach the gospel. Ask God to help you preach the gospel in some way. I don't know how He'll use you, but God wants to use you. It doesn't matter if you're a businessman, if you're going to work in the factory, if you're going to the retail or whatever it might be. You might be in the medical field. You might be whatever it might be. You may not be not have an inkling of a call of God on your life to be a preacher in the pulpit. But God called us all to share the gospel somehow. Stand up on your feet. We're ready. We're running out of time here. But I'm going to ask you this tonight. What do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe to preach the gospel? Do you believe to share the gospel? Do you believe to influence somebody with the Word of God in some way? Do you know? Listen to me. You say, "Well, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to go to the hospital and lay hands on the sick and empty out the hospital." Well, I suggest you don't try that. You know why? First of all, that's an assumption on your part that you don't have any scripture to back up on. The thing is this, listen to me, you got to find out what other people are believing. You got to get them in a position of believing. So just to say, "I'm going to go to the hospital and empty out the hospital." Well, you know, they may empty you out of the hospital too. You know what I'm saying? I've seen a few people. I had a Rhema graduate one time that he was a student at the time. He's a Dean Yoder. He said, I tell you the truth about it. He said, "I caused some trouble." He said, "They kicked me out of the hospital." He said, I'm trying to raise the dead. I'm trying to, you know, do this and do that. And he's doing all kinds of things. And he says, you know, and he's one of those guys that thinks the power of God, you know, comes in and shakes the place. That's the only way that God would use somebody, you know, and so forth. But listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. Going into the hospital is a great place to minister to people, but you got to learn to listen to the Lord. Another friend of mine and I went years ago. Went in this hospital. Guy was sick. Doctors couldn't help him. He was just a matter of time before he'd die. Something seriously wrong in his abdominal area down in here. And infections, severe infections of some kind. I don't remember what all it was or anything. And we walked in there and we just showed kindness to him. And at the end, we knew of him, but he didn't know us. And so at the end, I think it was me. I asked him, "Can I pray for you?" And I prayed a simple prayer for healing. Didn't feel anything. We left. And so lo and behold, the Lord raised him up. And he got healed. Then he gave his life to the Lord. And he told me later what happened in that room that I didn't know. He said, when you prayed for me, now listen to this, I did it quietly. I did it decently and in order. I did it in just a quiet way. Didn't feel a thing. He said, when you prayed for me, Jesus appeared to me and touched me. And he healed me. See, you don't know. So many times we're not conscious of the other side. What's God doing? The Lord working with us, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Just understand this. We're not waiting on God. God is waiting for us to go out and in some way share the word of God with somebody. Leave a track. Believe that track to make a difference. If that's all you can do, praise God. If all you can do is give somebody, let somebody in ahead of you in the checkout line, or if you come to a four-way stop and you let the other person go first, well, I'm telling you, that'll mess with their mind. Why would somebody let me go first? You know what I'm saying? See, here's the thing: God can use all of that. And seldom, listen to this, we do not realize that most of the time it takes multiple intakes to get people to believe. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some people have done some studies on it, said it takes an average of hearing the gospel 7 times before people respond to it. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know it takes several times in order for people to get convinced sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Many times it does. And the moment they receive, you say, well, I walked in someplace and preached the gospel, and they just received right away. Yeah, but you don't know what they heard before you came. You may have just been the person reaping, and there were other people that sowed, or whatever it might be. So you understand, listen to me. You sow, you water it, and you reap. You might be any one of the three, but listen to me. Let's lift our hands and let's thank God we can believe because we know the truth of God's word. Amen. Father, we thank you for the instructions of your word. We thank you, Father God, that you spoke not only to the 12 disciples, but you spoke to all of us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, show us what that means for us, what each one of us ought to do with that, what each one of us ought to be involved in some way. Help us. Help us to make a difference in the world with the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel in some way. And Father, as we have uplifted hands, now, Father, we thank you that your anointing and power, it will come upon us, that we not speak empty words, but we'll speak words of faith that will speak words that you undergird with your power, and that you cause those words to penetrate deep into the heart of people, that their convicting power, the Holy Spirit, will be released upon them, and that in their hearts and minds that they be able that they not forget those words, that they not forget the kindness, they not forget the love of God, they not forget that which you have presented to them, and that Father God, in some way, you move mightily to bring forth supernaturally, in many cases supernaturally, Father God, things happen that they come into a place of receiving Christ as their Savior, that Father God, demons flee, that Father God, they rise up into receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, that Father, they rise above circumstances and they rise above all the different things the enemy would want to bring their way, and nothing shall by any means hurt them, that Father God, that they'll receive their healing, and that Father God, not only will they receive all of that, but Father God, we thank you that they'll start a journey whereby they become a person who is used of you, in turn going out and reaching others. Father, we thank you that others will reach others, and others will reach others, and more, that there be a ripple effect from the word that we shared, the gospel that we preached, so that Father God, that in the end there'll be this great giant many waves of the gospel going forth, and that Father God, all the lost will be saved, and the sick will be healed, and the bound will be made free, and those who were defeated will rise up in victory. And so we thank you for it, Father God. Thank you now, Father. Help us make a decision. We will go out and preach the gospel in some way. Thank you for helping us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Prayer people can come. And so I just hope something I shared tonight will stir you up. Amen. Stir you up. I noticed nobody ran tonight. I noticed nobody shouted tonight. But really, that wouldn't have been appropriate, would it? Wouldn't have been. It wasn't needed, was it? I said it wasn't needed, was it? No, but now listen to me. Here's something. The Lord wanted to get this particular idea across to you to show that he can use you. You get you to believe. Amen? Amen. So this is as much a Holy Ghost service as if people would have been running or shouting. Because the Lord is working. The Lord is working. I said, he's right here. I said, he's right here. He's right here. While you were making that commitment, some of you need to check your body right now. Because some of you made a commitment to the Lord right here tonight. You begin to check your body. Listen to me. It's entirely possible while you're doing business with God that God will work in your life. It's really true. Thank God for healing in this house tonight. Thank God for people believing in the name of Jesus. Thank God for people becoming free. Listen to me. I believe this, that the shackles of our thought life are shattered by the truth of God's word, so that we're free to think the way God wants us to think, not bound in our thinking anymore. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now we're going out on. We're going on a mission. Now we're going out, sent by God. These are our marching orders. We're sent by God. We're not just an accident waiting to happen. We're just not wandering around in the wilderness. We've been sent by God. Hallelujah. Have a sense of we have a purpose in life. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, listen, we've got men, if you need prayer, come over to these men. And ladies, if you need prayer, come over to these ladies right here. They'll help you and believe with you in the name of Jesus. If you're here for the very first time at Rhema Bible Church tonight, then we want to say thank you. Let's give them a great big hand tonight. Now, connection team, go find them. Take them to get that special gift. That is a great way of saying thank you. Our way of saying thank you. It's a great gift. You'll be blessed by it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anyway, praise God. If you're like me, you know, I thought about this one time. I started coming to Rhema Bible Church before they started. But they started handing out those gifts to first-time guests. I'm thinking to myself, I think I'll start all over again just so I can get that gift. No, I'm kidding you. Now, listen to me. It is a really nice gift, and they'll get that. And then we say thank God for them being here tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't forget Wednesday night, Hour of Power, midweek, Power Boost. Glory to God. Amen. And remember, what do you believe? It makes a lot of difference in your life. Amen. God bless you. We'll talk to you.